let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America. Great to have you with us for the program today. Inspired by true-to-life accounts, the novel Guys in Their 20s in the 60s is a fun read about three young men who traverse a dynamic era in history, pursuing their life's plans while surviving challenging times, a journey of nostalgia that's sometimes funny, tragic, sexy, and entertaining. Written by Dennis Rasmussen, a Sacramento native, he's played drums for over 50 years, starting with gigs through the Nevada casino circuit, playing music in several major U.S. cities, later earning a bachelor's degree in theater at San Francisco State, along the way a newspaper reporter, and now author of Guys in Their 20s in the 60s, a novel inspired by actual events. Dennis Rasmussen with us on This Week in America. Dennis, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Looking forward to talking about this book because I'm from that same era. So many memories come flooding back as I'm sharing your memories in the book, Guys in Their 20s in the 60s. Let's first of all start with a very basic question. Why did you decide to write this book? What was it that inspired you to, you know, I got these great stories. I'm going to share these.
Well, this is important. I thought for a long time as response to a lot of folks who assumed they knew what my stories were going to be about once I told them. I lived in San Francisco in the late 60s when I went to college there. And I said I was writing a book about my times in the 60s. And they would nod and say, oh, yes. And they would think they knew. But I would say it's probably not what you think. So a little background on this whole perspective. For over 50 years, the general media, print and television, have been reporting on the sensational parts of the 1960s, especially about the San Francisco era and the hippie generation and that sort of thing.
Yes.
Stories about flower children, drugs, rock concerts, acid trips, drug dealing, panhandling, free sex, confrontations with police, and all sorts of things, plus a cultural revolution. Now, I assert that most of these stories were told through the media for their sensationalism or the color, but I report that these are just a small portion of the post-World War II generation's experiences. I wanted to write this book to show that based on research and observation, the majority of young people back then were certainly not society's dropouts. There was one journalist I'd like to quote. He said, 90% of the boomers watched the revolution on TV, and that's as close as they got. So, well, I did live in the 60s. I was certainly not a dropout or a drug dealer, none of that. Me and my compatriots were part of the silent majority, perhaps influenced by the culture, but we watched from the sideline, much like a journalist would. I'd like to point out that, we were influenced and taken back by the Vietnam War and the Civil Rights Movement and that sort of thing. But it is my view that the appeal of this book is because these stories are told from the perspective of those who were there, occupying the outskirts of the counterculture like we were. We were sort of like the outside looking in, much like journalists, as I say. And it's important to make that distinction. When I thought about my times and my experiences in the 60s, we had our own stories, myself and my friends, and I wanted to combine our personal stories in with those of the general public and those dynamic events that happened all around us, like political assassinations and the anti-war protests and the civil rights movements and all of those things, and combine that in one volume. And that was why I wanted to write the book. So I would like to say that it is my view that the appeal of this book is because these stories are told from the perspective of those who were there. And again, it's the majority of the perspective. And among other personal recollections, readers might enjoy a measure of nostalgia for those fascinating times.
Well, and they do. And you capture that. And that is so true. I was watching an infomercial for a Time Life series from the 60s. And they kept coming back to Haight Ashbury and the drugs, sex, rock and roll type of thing. Yeah. And it's like, you know, I grew up during that era. I think I missed a whole lot of that. I mean, the 60s were a great time for me, but not necessarily for all those reasons the media likes to depict. And I gather that in your book, there was so much going on, so many challenges. That was just a small part of it. And again, you were more observational than a participant in it.
Perhaps. That's exactly right. And like yourself and like the majority, like this journalist says, 90%.
He's exactly right.
We're busy doing other things. I was wanting to finish college, look for a career, and not to mention trying to stay out of jail, right? So we saw a lot from that perspective inside San Francisco. And, of course, my book traipses all over California, starts in Sacramento, and a lot of us migrated to San Francisco to take part in the theater wing of the San Francisco State, which was very, very exciting times. And I wanted to capture the personal stories and fold them in to what was going on around us.
Well, and you've done an excellent job with that. And the book is Guys in Their 20s in the 60s, a novel inspired by actual elements. Events, Dennis Rasmussen, that's Rasmussen, is the author and our guest. Book's available, of course, at Amazon, the usual places. A lot of information on the book and Dennis at his website, DennisRasmussenBooks.com. You can link on directly by going to Dennis's website at our website, ThisWeekInAmerica.us. You described that as a historical fiction. Let's talk about that and the three characters that we follow and we come to really understand and have empathy for in the book, Adrian, Mitchell, and Dave. Talk about the three of them and a little bit of background on them.
Well, I'd like to say that they were formerly teammates on the swimming team in high school. And after the Kennedy assassination and other civil rights demonstrations, they meet for a reunion, now 5 years out of high school, and they want to talk about old times and catch up on what has happened and so on. Well, I want to tell you about their individual differences. We've got Adrian, who was a drummer. A drummer from the older school, like myself, he is more of a jazz drummer than a rock and roll drummer, if you will.
Yes.
So he picks up his experience from a little earlier in time, and he's trying to maintain a working career, which he has going most of the time, but it's an inconsistent career. Mitchell decides he wants to be a theater major. And he's a tall, handsome guy, and he has a lot of personal stuff to work out, wanting to experience and find his true self. And Dave is a sensitive poet and a carpenter, and he just can't put up with the chaos. He just wants to live a comfortable life somewhere in the country, maybe. So they all have differences. And the way I construct the book is that taking the chronology of the 60s from 63 to 71, their individual stories leapfrog one another, whereas Dave experiences the Kennedy tragedy in 1963 to 64. Adrian is working in band in 65, and then we catch up on all three of them in 1966, and then later on later in 66 we see Mitchell going through his challenges in drama school in Sacramento. So their experiences leapfrog throughout the decade, and I keep the reader motivation moving forward on the different experiences they experienced, but not all at once. So they each are featured in an individual chapter as their chapter. And I think it works quite well to not only capture their individual stories, but to bring in their responses and reactions to what has happened in the news of that year, that day.
Yes.
And I think the reader will enjoy thinking or remembering where they were, when they were there, what they were doing at the time of this particular event. And I've got some good reactions from people. And these guys work out their own way towards the end of the book. They find their own path in life that's appropriate for them. And I think the reader would be satisfied with the outcome in this book.
Besides the three main characters in the book, guys in their 20s, in the 60s, the novel inspired by actual events by Dennis Rasmussen, our guest on the program, you've got a diverse cast of characters, and anybody that grew up in the 60s can relate to these people because we ran into them all the time. It was a diverse group of people that we would come in contact with out there, a colorful group. Talk about some of those, because that really adds another element to following the three throughout the book, as you've got these sub-characters that come in, and they're impactful in their own ways.
Yes, I've got at least three main sub-characters, if you will, that come in. We've got Bo. He is a heavyset, a fun, lovable guy with a big red beard who's a ceramic artist, and he loves his smoke. Let's put it that way, all the way He leads the way on introducing folks to the libations of the era. And by the way, marijuana is probably the drug of choice, plus beer, for these guys and their friends. That's Bo. And then we have Patty, this dancer from the musical in Sacramento, who also moves on to San Francisco, and she is interactive with the guys, a good hanger-outer with them, with Bo, with Dave, and becomes a good friend of Adrian later on. And we have a college roommate of Adrian, is Doyle. Doyle is a real fun character. He's dynamic. He's upbeat. He's a confident theater director style guy, big positive A personality. And he and Mitchell have some major events, major driving road trips to Reno, to Los Angeles, and to Death Valley. And there's a lot of fun in those scenes with Doyle and Mitchell.
Dennis Rasmussen with us on the program. Boy, the time is going by so quickly. So many elements of the book to talk about. Guys in their 20s, in the 60s, a novel inspired by actual events. Let's talk a few minutes about some of the cultural changes. Not only that the three main actors, the characters in the book went through, but you went through during that period as well. Because when you start listing what went on during the 60s, this was a tumultuous time period, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
We were up and down. I mean, this was a difficult period.
I remember having my doubts about there was so much campus disturbances on the San Francisco State College campus back then, with a tactical squad coming on to break up demonstrations and that sort of thing. A lot of podium speeches and meetings out there on the quad. And I particularly wanted to not go back. I had one more semester, and I almost quit. But somehow I got it together to pull my cards for the last set of classes, and that paid off. I'm glad I did that. But so many of guys and gals didn't finish their classes and went by the seven winds. You know, they just went everywhere. I was not in the military, and neither were any of my characters. So there's nothing per se to tell any more than what we sympathize and empathize with for those who went to Vietnam, and we had a lot of empathy for that. It was a convoluted, weird time. Civil rights movements. We saw all the changes and the the difficulty groups went through on campus and down in the streets in San Francisco. There were police versus demonstrators going on a lot down in Haight-Ashbury, and we watched it. There's a scene where Mitchell is standing in his window looking out, watching this scene of the tactical squad chasing demonstrators, and that is a very strong metaphor on how he was looking through a window, through this glass, through this observation port, where he watched the world go by him. He wasn't in it, but he was of it. He was there watching. And that's a particular metaphor I was happy to include as he watched this go by.
As many of us did, you know, in watching television at the time and being of that era, but not in that era in terms of what you were mentioning, what you were describing that you saw during that period. So there were so many things going on. I'm going to just talk, we've got a couple of minutes left here, about music and being a musician. And you'd written a book before in your early days out on the road, and music is a big part of the book, Guys in Their 20s in the 60s. You talk about what we went through in music, because there were some significant, maybe even seismic changes in music. I mean, everything is going along, and now we got these guys from England coming over here. Things changed dramatically, didn't they, in music during that period?
Yeah. What I want to include there is that I might have written a book called I Played Drums in the 60s, but it's probably not what you think. My background came from, and Adrian's is the first person narrative, came from a jazz background. And what I did was not get into the self-taught rock and roll garage band music. I was a studied musician from the Musicians Union in Sacramento, and I played with orchestras. I played with old swing jazz bands, swing dance bands from the older era. And later on, I have Adrian playing at the famous Purple Onion nightclub.
Oh,
in
yes.
Frisco, right. And there were a backup trio behind, singers and comedians, different acts. Jim Nabors stopped by, and as a nostalgia thing, Smothers Brothers used to perform there. And it's famous for a lot of other people, but we played at sort of the straight middle of the road music that the singers and other performers wanted us to play. It was not rock and roll. We wore suits with long ties. And I try to bring out a humorous element, that contrast between his girlfriend at the time, who wanted to know if he liked the Rolling Stones, and it was a conflict between the two of them that he was not a rock and roller on a stage in front of 300,000 screaming rock fans. No, he was in a nightclub playing straight music with a suit and tie to about an 80-person house in the basement nightclub of Purple Onion. So those contrasts, and there's many of those references, and those contrasts, what music and his life was like. Sure, he wanted to do all of that, but he was a working musician. I mean, he had a 5-night-a-week gig, and that went on for a year and a half or so. And steady money was a good thing to maintain a fair, decent lifestyle back then. And Adrian just didn't aspire to the rock and roll era. So, no, he didn't drop acid and go see the Grateful Dead and any of that, you see.
Yes.
So those kind of not only do we see a humorous conflict of the cultural differences, but I think the majority of the reader would identify with, yeah, I wasn't part of the sensational part. I was doing some of these other things. I was in a whole nother straight world also. Like I said, 90% of the people watched all this stuff on TV.
That's exactly the case. And besides, as you mentioned, the cultural changes that were so significant and so many, unfortunately, because many of these were tragedies, assassinations that we went through during that period. But there, we go through with you and the others in the book, Adrian, Mitchell, and Dave, what they're going through growing up in this era, and we all went through that, all the changes that we go through as young adults or trying to become young adults as best we can. It's an excellent read. It's called Guys in Their 20s in the 60s, a novel inspired by actual events. Dennis Rasmussen is the author. That's R-A-S-M-U-S-S-E-N. His website is DennisRasmussenBooks.com. Books, of course, available where the usual places books are sold. You can link on directly to Dennis's website by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and get information on Dennis and the books. Dennis, are you working on anything now? You have to have another book in you, I'm sure.
Well, I'm thinking of several paths to take again, and I could follow up with what happened in the 70s when I went to Hawaii and played with music all around Hawaii for the first half of that decade. That's a possibility. I could go back and revisit some other events. The memoir I wrote about my early years playing the Nevada Casino Circuit as a kid drummer. I pulled that off publication years ago, and I might want to redo that in a different way. But I want to say one more point before we miss out on a point about guys in their 60s. I just want to say that it's appealing to women as well as to men. I've had some very good compliments with the women, from the women who have read the book, and they liked it an awful lot. And I like to say that with today's Me Too movement and all the current racial angst that's going on, I think I've been very fair in how I've treated women and minorities in retelling stories of old for today's readers. I learned while I went through this to not speak in the jargon and the cliches that we spoke in back in the 60s, because they wouldn't pass muster today in today's
exactly.
meeting.
Exactly. Yes.
So I was sure, and I had a good editor who helped me get through some of these older ways of speaking to kind of modify and be respectful of women and minorities, how I spoke of them for today's reader audience.
Well, you've done an excellent job, and I look forward to more books, especially the 70s, to see what happens in all this time in Hawaii. Were you a drummer for Don Ho over there? Is that going to be part of the next? No? Oh.
I was almost called up to play with him. Yes, I didn't do it. I was one drummer away.
There's your title, one drummer away.
One drummer away from Don Ho, yes. The drummer who was playing with him talked to me about coming in after he wanted to leave and go on the road on the mainland. But it turned out he didn't do that after all, and so I didn't get the gig. But, I played with some Hawaiian bands over there and some folk rock bands that we formed over there.
Well, I hope you do the book on the 70s. I would love to read that. A gifted writer, Dennis Rasmussen, our guest on the program. The book, Guys in Their 20s in the 60s, a novel inspired by actual events. His website, DennisRasmussenBooks.com. Books available at Amazon, and link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Dennis, it has been a pleasure. Stay in touch. Love to do it again. Thank you for being with us on the program.
And thank you. Thank you, Rick. I really appreciated this opportunity to speak with you.
You're welcome. This was fun. Guys in their 20s in the 60s, Dennis Rasmussen, our guest. Information available at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.